All right, so we're gonna pray real quick. We already read Luke chapter 2, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Christmas story, and dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to learn from your word. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the thing about it is that at Christmas time, we tend to forget the true meaning of Christmas, and we get wrapped up into the wrapping of gifts and the gift exchanges and the Christmas lights and all that other stuff. But the thing about it is 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the world, and it's never been the same. And I'll be honest with you, you know, kind of a little harder to read my notes. You know, here's the thing is that tonight I would like to remind us that the Christmas season is more than boxes and bows and ribbons. And it's the fact that Jesus came to earth and he lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin, but it was all for Calvary. You know, the thing about it is we go back to verses 1 through 5. And just like we read earlier, here's the thing is that there was a providential decree. Think about this for a moment, that, you know, so many times throughout Scripture, it was predicted that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Now, the problem with this is that Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth. And I'll be honest with you, chances are there was no thought in their mind to take and go to Bethlehem for any reason. And, you know, think about this for a minute. Here was Mary. Ladies, you would know about this, more than I would. But, imagine trying to, travel 80 miles on a flea-bitten animal while you're real close to giving birth. And, you're pregnant. And here's the thing is, I remember, when my wife was pregnant, the doctors would tell us, hey, listen, don't travel in the last month or two. And, but here's the thing is that, you know what? It was a providential decree that forced, Mary and Joseph, to go to Bethlehem. I'll be honest with you. If you look at John, and I'll read it. If you can't turn there, we don't want you burning the place down. And so, if you're real talented, go ahead and turn there. But John chapter 1 and verse 46, the Bible says this. And Nathan said unto him, Can there any good come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. And so the thing about it is that a lot of people didn't understand the prophecies. And then we look in John chapter 7 and verses 41 and 42, we see that a lot of people just didn't understand. Why would God predict that the Christ child would be born in Bethlehem? The Bible says others say this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? And so here's the thing is a lot of times the prophecies, they didn't understand. And, you know, like I said, that the problem was that you had the promise that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. But the problem was that Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth. And, you know, the thing about it is that God arranged all these things to ensure that his son would be born in the right place at the right time. And once again, I can't stress enough that I can't even see the clock, so I can preach forever, right? And so the thing about it is that, listen, you know, nothing in the Bible or nothing according to the will of God is by chance or happenstance. And so let me tell you, young people in this room, let me trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Let me tell you, that's good for us too, adults. And the thing about it is that a lot of times, even when it doesn't make sense, we need to trust the Lord. Because here's the thing is, the Lord knows every little detail. He knows every little detail about the past. He knows every little detail about the present. And he also knows every little detail about the future. And, you know, the thing about it is that the place of his birth. You know, the thing about it is no room in the end speaks of the rest of his life. John chapter 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, he came unto his own and his own received him not. And so what this was referring to is that Christ came and, he was rejected of the Jews. But at the same point in time, look at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. And so let me ask you, have we accepted Christ? And are we just like John 11? You know, the thing about it is I know this is referring to the Jews, and I know that this is referring to salvation on how the Jews rejected him as Savior. But the thing about it is let me ask us tonight is, are we rejecting Christ in another way? Even though we're saved and on our way to heaven, are we rejecting the will of God in our lives? What are we willing to put aside so that we trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding? See, the thing about it is sometimes God calls us to do things that we don't understand the reasoning or the purpose behind it. Sometimes we never know, but I'll be honest with you. The thing about it is that God knows what's best for us. And so then you go down to the purpose of his birth. The purpose of his birth was the salvation of the souls of men. Jesus was a baby born to die. And I love that song, Born to Die Upon Calvary. The thing about it is, you know what? Just like we talked about this morning, God had a plan and a purpose. It was predicted all throughout Scripture. But the thing about it is that, listen, Jesus Christ had an eternal plan, just like God has a plan for us. You know, then next we see the powerful display. The birth of Jesus was the power of God on parade before the eyes of men. See, the thing about it is everything about it was miraculous. From the prediction on where Christ was going to be born to, you know, here's the thing is who Christ was going to be born to. Sunday school, we saw the lineage of Jesus all the way from Abraham through David and Solomon and whatnot. And the thing about it is that everything was the power of God on display. You see the fact that every prediction about Christ came true. God's promises were fulfilled. And the thing about it is that, you know what? Every part about it was the grace of God. The shepherds were outcast by society. They were considered vile and filthy. But the outcast by... But here's the thing is that, you know what? God chose them for his almighty plan. You know, the thing about it is God doesn't always look for the prettiest or the most handsome to do his will. God doesn't always look for the most talented, because most of the time those people think that they can do it without God. God is looking for somebody that says, listen, I in and of myself cannot do anything great, but you know what? I serve a great God, and that he is able. You know, we sing the song in junior church, he's able, I know he's able. Let me tell you, he is able to take a man or a woman, and you know what? He is able to do great things for God. I've seen ladies, I've seen Sunday school teachers, you know, I'm thinking about one who took a little boy, sat him on her knee and showed him what the love of God was all about. He later became a pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, one of the largest Sunday school classes in America. And you know what? God did a great thing through a Sunday school teacher that said, you know what? I cannot do anything great myself, but I serve a God who is able to take somebody and do great things with them. And the thing about it is, listen, when we take and yield over to God and we say, God, my life is yours to control. You know what? When we don't think that we're all that in a bag of hot chips, when we don't think that, you know what? I'm good enough. I can handle this or I can handle that. When we say, God, I'm going to trust in you. Then you know what? God is able to do great things and God's power is able to shine. Think about this for a moment. The very men who raised lambs for the temple sacrifice were the first to meet the Lamb of God. Imagine this. You know, here's the thing is there's so many symbols in the Bible and prophecies. And the thing about it is think about this. The very shepherds that were to raise the lambs that a lot of times were used for sacrifice met the very sacrifice for our sins. You know, the thing about it is the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It took the spotless Lamb of glory to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have a home in heaven one day. Just like back in the day, it took a lamb to be sacrificed for the sins of the people at the time. It was a symbol of the Lamb of Glory. You know, the thing about it is the shepherds with the gifts. And we're not going to linger here too much, but the gifts symbolize, you know, so much. But they came wondering what they would find, and they left witnessing about the one who had found them. You know, the thing about it is that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible speaks of this very truth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Let me tell you, only Christ can take a life and change it and make it new. So in conclusion, I know I'm trying to make it shorter. What are you looking for this Christmas? If it's something material that you're dying to find, then you'll probably be disappointed. However, if you're seeking the Christ of Christmas, you will never be disappointed. This is why the Bible talks about it as more blessed to give than to receive. If Christmas is all about receiving to you or I, we've missed the spirit of Christmas. If all we're worried about is getting the newest game for our gaming system, you can tell I work with teenagers. And Brother Ritzler, are you trying to find the latest game for your gaming system? And so probably not. He manages his time better than that. And but anyways, you know, the thing about it is that listen, if all we're trying to do is receive, we've missed the whole spirit of Christmas. Let me ask you this Christmas: how much have we shared Christ? Because the thing about it is that's what Christ desired to do with the world, is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, the thing about it is the best gift given at Christmas time is an introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's that saying, wise men still seek Jesus. But let me ask you this: are we like the innkeeper? Or do we say, you know what, I just don't have room for Christ right now. You know what, I'm too busy celebrating the Christmas season for Christ. What a tragedy that would be. I was just talking with Brother Aaron this afternoon. What a tragedy that would be, where at the time we celebrate the birth of Christ, we forget the one whose birthday it really is. And so let me just say thank you for putting Christ first tonight. And I'll be honest with you. You know what? It takes character to come to a church on a Christmas Eve. And you know, the thing about it is I really believe the only reason you'd be here is to glorify the one, the Christ of Christmas. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you so much for this Christmas season. And dearly Father, I pray that you just help us to not forget what the Christmas season is all about. Dearly Father, the fact that you were born of a virgin, and that you came to this earth born of a virgin, the only begotten Son, the only one that could be the atonement for our sins. Dearly Father, this Christmas season, I pray that you help us to put you first. Dearly Father, I thank you for the fact that you make no mistakes. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.